Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 3. I'm sorry, Joshua chapter 5 is where we'll begin this morning. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Before we begin reading our text, I want to remind you that faith without works is dead. It is not living. We're challenged by that truth throughout the scriptures, throughout the really the stories of the scripture that illustrate the spiritual truths that we are both to understand and claim and live by. It is said that trying to win a case, lawyers have been known to ask some incredibly unbelievable questions. The Massachusetts Bar Association, their lawyer's journal, gives the following example. Question: are you sure the patient was dead? Answer: yes. Question: did you check for blood pressure? Answer: no. Question: did you check for breathing? Answer: no. Question: then, doctor, is it possible that the patient was alive when you began the autopsy? Answer: no. Question: how can you be so sure, doctor? Answer: because his brain was sitting on my desk in a jar. Question: but couldn't the patient have been alive nevertheless? Answer: it is possible that the patient could still have been alive and practicing law somewhere. As a body without a brain is dead, likewise, faith without works is dead. See, a dead faith does nothing. A dead faith means nothing. A dead faith does not honor God. Living faith, on the other hand, gives testimony through obedience to a living God. We have been, over these last several weeks, talking about vision and victory as we look at the story of the nation of Israel entering into the promised land. We continue with that this morning. And it seems, maybe, if you're reading through this passage of Scripture along with us, that the stories seem almost to repeat, that the spiritual lessons seem to repeat. I think there's reason for that. And that's because we don't get it the first time. We don't make the applications often that we need to the very first time we think on these things. But the truth continues to repeat that there is a relationship between faith and obedience, that God has instructed us from His Word how we are to live. And we must come to the place where we learn that it is in obeying God's Word, it's applying His Word to our life in such a way that we're living it out, that we will experience victory in our lives. God wants you to know His victory. I don't know what you're facing today. I know many of you are facing maybe defeats, tremendous challenges. I want to remind you again today that God desires you to know His victory. Trust Him. Learn of Him. Depend upon Him. Yield to Him today. Let's look at this passage. Chapter 5, verse 13 and following. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites. No one was leaving it or entering. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Look, I have handed Jericho, its kings, its fighting men over to you. March around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry seven ram's horn trumpets in front of the ark. But on the seventh day, march around the city seven times while the priests blow the trumpets. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn and you hear its sound, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the city walls will collapse and the people will advance, each man straight ahead. And so Joshua, son of Nun, summons the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and have the priests carry seven trumpets in front of the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, move forward. March around the city and have the armed troops go ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Let's pause here and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Lord, we come this morning desiring to hear from You, asking, Father, that You would teach us the truths that we need to learn, spiritual truths for this life of faith, Lord, that instruct us in how to walk in victory as we walk with You. Lord, we desire Your presence among us. And we ask that You would teach us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we read from chapters 5 and 6, we're really at a transition in the book of Joshua, in the story. There are really three major divisions of the book. The first, those first five chapters, are the preparation. Really the preparation of the nations. They're getting ready. They're learning God's vision of how they're to enter into this land, how to trust Him. God's preparing them. The next is where we begin here for the next basically 10 chapters from 6 to 16. This is a record of the period of conquest. As Canaan is being taken, as they're laying hold of the promise of God. And then 13 through 24 is the dividing of the land among the tribes. The claiming of the inheritance that God had promised to Abraham. Now, they've been prepared for this. That's what those first five chapters were. God preparing Israel for the conquest. But even though God had prepared them, they still must walk by faith. Each day, each step of the way. You see, the spiritual truths in the story are for you and I today. Even though we're reading about something that happened thousands of years ago, Paul would write, these things happened to them of old time for our benefit, for our instruction in spiritual truths. And the spiritual truth for you and I is that every chapter of the Christian life faces new obstacles of faith, or to our faith. You know, last week, as we were standing with Israel at the Jordan River, the obstacle they faced was an impossibility. It was impossible for them to cross over the Jordan at flood stage. It just couldn't happen. But God showed up. God stopped the river so that the nation would cross over on dry ground. We serve the same God. All right? That's the encouragement for us. But here the lesson is, even though they had experienced God's power and they saw the reward of their faith in this victory as they cross over on dry ground, it's like they wake up the next morning and there's another obstacle in front of them. Right? This time, it's a walled city of Jericho. And as they prepare to be obedient, as they prepare to do what God's told them to do, they are day after day faced with new obstacles to their faith. So are you and I. Just because we experience one great victory in God doesn't mean that the battle is over. There's going to be a new obstacle tomorrow that challenges our faith, that requires us to depend upon God. And by the way, God desires it that way. God plans it that way for you and I. So that our faith would grow. That we would continue to go and to move from faith to faith. And obedient faith requires that we move forward regardless of the circumstances. I suspect that there were some in the crowd there that, you know, that were saying to themselves, you know, we just got past one great obstacle. When is it ever going to get easier? You ever said that? No, you have. I've said it myself. I mean, when's it going to get easier? Well, that's the wrong question. And it's the wrong spirit, isn't it? I mean, our spirit and our attitude should be still celebrating what God has done in our life yesterday. So we do face difficulty after difficulty. For Joshua, this next trial, this challenge is right in front of them, Jericho, the strongest walled city in Canaan. It appeared to have been the hardest city to overthrow, and strategically, it was the most important city because it was right in the center of the region. And the citizens of that ancient fortress would have, well, first of all, they'd have been surprised to see Israel on their side of the Jordan River in the middle of flood stage of the river. They thought they had time. But here they are. Yet, they're prepared for such attacks. They have their city. They have these walls. And Joshua, on the other hand, the children of Israel, they have no weapons for siege warfare. They have no catapults or battering rams or ladders or siege engines. It's little wonder that the people in the city felt secure. They had no reason to come out and engage the army. They could just wait behind the walls. Any council of war would have encouraged Joshua to just bypass Jericho. Don't mess with it. Go on and take the other cities that are much easier, less fortified. Just cut off the city, maybe. Let them become weaker. I suspect there were many councils of war taking place around the campfires of Israel. But Joshua wasn't seeking that kind of counsel. See, Joshua was on the path of obedience. And he was on that path when God gave him help. I want you to see that. That's part of the spiritual instruction of the story. Right? The text says, when Joshua was near Jericho. We have to read a little bit into it because there's not a lot of text here, but it appears, at least to me, that Joshua was out doing a little personal reconnaissance. You know, he had sent the spies in before they crossed over the river. Now they've crossed over the river, and he is tasked with leading this nation on the conquest. So he's not just sitting around. Right? He's doing what a general would do. He's trying to figure out what the next step is. And to do that, he personally goes. And it seems like he's by himself as he looks. And the text says he looks up, he sees Jericho. You go into the next chapter, and Jericho is shut up. It is secured. He is seeing this for himself. What I want you to understand about that setting is that Joshua is obeying. Joshua knows what his role is. He understands what God has called him to do and told him to do. And so Joshua is doing it. Now he doesn't know. God hasn't given him instructions on how he's to take the city. And so he moves forward, not knowing. But it's in the process of obedience, as he is stepping out in faith, that God shows up to give him instruction. That's, first of all, what I want you to see. Because I think many times the reason we do not experience victory in our life is because we're not moving forward at all. We've become paralyzed by our circumstances. We're overwhelmed. We're discouraged and fearful. And I would remind you that fear is the antithesis of faith. When we let fear move into our life, it displaces faith. It becomes disobedience, because it leads to inactivity. And what often amazes me when I'm talking to believers that are in this situation, what they have actually done in their discouragement or in the face of an overwhelming obstacle, they begin to pull back from God. And you see it in things like they stop going to church, they stop praying, they stop spending time in God's Word. They let the fear and doubt creep into their life, and they begin to pull back from God when exactly the opposite is what's needed. When the way is unclear, when the circumstances are hard or painful or discouraging, then the believer needs to then walk by faith right into God's presence. We need Him more than ever. That we might walk by faith and not by sight. And to do these things is to be obedient. Take steps of obedience. Obedience is exercising your faith. Do what you know God would have you to do. Israel is not just sitting around as they crossed over the Jordan. No, they were taking steps of obedience. If you read the previous chapter, they've done hard things. Matter of fact, they have taken the time to circumcise all the fighting men. There was no circumcision taking place during those 40 years. And so now they've done that. That was a dangerous thing, if you think about that. Here they are now in enemy territory, and they're recovering from surgery. They've celebrated the Passover. What is that? That's a step of obedience. They're doing what God has told them to do. Each of these things are obedience. They don't really know what the next step is. They don't know how it is that Jericho is going to be defeated, but they know what to do. From God's word, they're following the instructions in God's word in their life of obedience. So what I'm saying to you is, you already know things that you should be obeying God in. You know, he's already instructed you. Basic parts of the Christian life, and you have become focused on this circumstance or this difficulty, the struggle in your life, and you've become fearful because of it, or it's led to really disobedience in your life. What you need to do is repent of that and turn to obey in what you know. And then, like Joshua, I can promise you that when you begin to obey what God has already shown you, He will show up and show you what to do next. But you got to be close to Him. You got to be seeking Him. You have to be obeying Him. That's faith. That's alive. That's what God's calling you to. For that kind of faith enables us to see what is unseen. Vision. Recognizing and understanding what God has for us. Verse 13 again, it says, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw. Now, in English, the translation is very simple. It doesn't make much of it, but the Hebrew phrase here is much more complex, and scholars spend a great deal of time talking about this double verb in the sentence. Meaning, Joshua came to Jericho to see, right? When he gets to near Jericho, he looks, he sees that the city is shut up. We see that in the next couple of verses. Then it says, and he lifted his eyes. Meaning, he was looking for more than just what the condition of the city was. He was looking for more. He was looking for something from God. And when he looks up, he's rewarded. Right, there's a man with a drawn sword in his hand. Well, this guy's got the drop on Joshua. He's already got his sword out. Notice what Joshua does. He doesn't flee. He doesn't become fearful. But he confronts him. He approaches him, the text says. And asks the question, are you for us or against us, or for our enemies? Neither is the reply. I have now come as the commander of the Lord's army. And Joshua bows with his face to the ground and worships and asks him, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? So Joshua comes out to see what he's up against. But he's looking for more than that. He's looking for the Lord. And so we have this setting where the Lord comes to him, and in the presence of this one with a drawn sword, indicating that the Lord had come to fight with Joshua. And when Joshua recognizes the presence of the Lord, he worships him. Notice the commander says, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. What does that sound like? Sounds like Moses at the burning bush, doesn't it? Matter of fact, as we go along the story of Joshua, we see many parallels to Moses, because Joshua is that leader that God has pulled out again to serve as Moses did. What is he saying? Look at verse 2. And so the Lord says to Joshua, look. Again, here's that verb, to look. He's talking about with the eyes of his faith. Look, I have handed Jericho and its king and its fighting men over to you. Look, Joshua, you are not fighting for the victory. You're fighting from victory. I've already handed it over to you. Brother and sister, I remind you of that this morning. That the battle that we are engaged in, this spiritual warfare, this the challenges of our life, we are not battling for victory. We're battling from victory. Christ has already secured the victory for us. By faith, we live in that victory. It doesn't mean that we have nothing to do. No, there's much to do. It doesn't mean that things will be easy. No, things will be hard. Jesus told us, you in this world, you will face tribulation. But understand, the primary battles that we face are spiritual battles. Joshua is asked to see with the eyes of his faith, not the eyes of his flesh. And when the way is unclear, we need to seek a message from God's Word. Joshua wanted to know what God wanted him to do, right? What message does the Lord have for his servant? Well, here's the message. Probably wasn't what he was hoping for. Because he says, march around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Okay. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets. And then, and when you hear the sound of a long blast of trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. And then the walls of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in. So God instructs Joshua how to find victory, how to see victory His way, that is God's way. How strange those instructions must have sounded to a general. Right? Now we've heard the story before, so they're not surprising to us. Consider how surprising it was to him. That's not how you attack a walled city. No one has ever done that before. And through the eyes of one's flesh, those instructions would sound foolish. But God had already begun with, I've delivered the city. See with the eyes of your spirit, not with the eyes of your flesh. Stand still, as he would say to Moses. It's exactly what God said to Moses at the Red Sea, right? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Faith is trusting God regardless of the circumstances. Faith is obeying God, even when the instructions to us from God's Word do not seem to fit this world. Lean not on your own understanding. I ask you this morning, are you walking by faith? If you're walking by faith, then you'll see what Joshua sees. You'll experience what Joshua experienced. Joshua's response to God's Word was a response in humility. You see the humility in Joshua. His first response is he recognizes the presence of the Lord as he humbles himself in worship. See, there's a progression here. Humble worship, holy endeavor, heavenly victory. But it begins in humility. It always does. There's a relationship between faith and humility. Verse 10, Joshua gives the command to the people, do not shout. Do not let your voice be heard. Don't let one word come out of your mouth until the time I say shout, and then you're to shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the city, circling it once, and they returned to the camp and they spent the night there. So imagine what that was like for the people. Joshua gives them instruction on what they're to do. They're going into battle. They're going to take the city of Jericho, but here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're just going to march around the city today and nobody say a word. Faith was displayed in humility. Faith is displayed in faithfulness and obedience. There were no assurances given. They were simply to trust. And they returned to the camp, and apparently, to them, nothing happened. And on top of that, they couldn't talk about it. I mean, they couldn't talk while they were out there. Put yourself in their shoes. Do you not recognize the humility in their actions? They were publicly obeying God, but yet publicly making fools of themselves, weren't they? So that's what the world would have seen. That's what those in the city of Jericho would have believed. Brother and sister, it's not easy to keep going in faithfulness when you do not see the results you expect. Right? When we obey God, we expect to see something. Like right away. That's not the way it usually works. See, God's... You know, the lesson that we often find in Scripture is God's more concerned with our character than He is with our comfort, right? He's doing something in us. He's shaping us. He's moving us from faith to faith. And oftentimes, that movement is hard. And oftentimes, it requires humility. I would say all times, it requires humility. Trust in Him. Don't you think that the people standing on the walls of Jericho had something to say when the people were walking in silence? I really think the VeggieTales hit the nail on the head. Their account of this story just is perfect. Matter of fact, we're going to watch a short clip of that. I just can't pass it up.
What are you doing? We're going to knock your wall down. By walking around in circles? Yes. It's not because we're crazy or anything. Our God told us to do it this way.
Oh, that's a great idea. You go ahead and keep walking.
Keep walking. But you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking.
But she isn't gonna fall.
It's plain to see. Your brains are very small to think walking will be knocking down our wall.
You silly little pecan. You silly little peas. You think that walking around will bring this city to its knees? The awesome powers of this wall we've clearly demonstrated. Ah! But out here in the hot, hot sun, perhaps you're dehydrated?
All right, that's good enough. I guarantee you, they used probably more colorful language than those peas did there as they berated the children of Israel walking around their walls. To them, it had to have seemed, for an army, humiliating. But they did it. They trusted God. Friend, God is at work in your life, teaching you to trust Him, showing us, even today, His ways are not our ways. The instruction of His Word doesn't add up by our math. He uses a different kind of calculator. What He calls for from us is faith. As they walked around those walls, they trusted Him. They said nothing. On the seventh day, the seven being the number of completion, they went around this time seven times. And then the blast from the shofar horns of the priests and the shout of the people and the walls fell flat. It was a God thing. The walls fell by the power of God alone. He did it. In fact, God did it, yet the people of God were required by God to demonstrate faith. I mean, because we could back away and say, well, what would have happened if they only did that for 6 days and they gave up on the seventh day? And likely nothing would have happened. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11:30 says that the walls of Jericho fell because of faith. Now, we know that they fell because of the power of God, but it was the power of God because the people of God, it was demonstrated through the people of God who walked by faith. Friend, God still wants to tear down walls. God still is at work to change the world. And He wants to do it through His people who will walk by faith and trust Him completely. His people that will serve Him in humble service. He calls us to that. I'll tell you the story of a young couple who lived out this kind of faith. Their marriage began with a mutual eagerness to serve the Lord and to do that on a mission field. 2 weeks after their wedding, they enthusiastically set sail on a 114-day journey to Calcutta, India. But the romantic notions of mission work evaporated on their arrival. When they got to India, they were not able to stay. There was an international conflict taking place, and they were not allowed to stay. And so their ship left harbor, and they tried to decide what to do. Other missionaries had told them about different places, but God had put on their heart the land of Burma. They were warned not to go there, that it was dangerous, that they shouldn't. But yet they felt that God was giving them a burden for the people of that nation, and so they sailed for Burma. They knew that they risked much, and they'd already experienced hardship. While they were traveling, their first child died at sea. They got to Burma. They began to minister, began to share the gospel, but without seeing any effect. It was 2 years before they got their first piece of mail from the States. Their first convert was baptized 7 years into their ministry. Consider how hard that would have been. But the situation grew worse. Armed police burst into their home and carried the woman's husband away, locked him in a prison that was dubbed the death prison. Over 50 prisoners crammed into individual rat-infested cells. Every night, bamboo poles were lowered from the ceiling and pushed through the shackles of the prisoners, and the prisoners were hoisted up to hang from their legs through the night. At 3 o'clock each day, guards would enter the cell, choose 2 prisoners for execution. Eventually, the wife was able to bribe the warden to let her husband out of jail. And no one would have blamed Adoniram, Nancy Judson, if after 12 years they had headed home. For 12 years they had given of their life. They'd only seen 18 converts to faith in Christ. But they didn't leave. They stayed. They were not following a pattern from others who had blazed the trail. In fact, they were the very first missionaries to come from North America. But God used them. If you read their story, it's just amazing how trial after trial they remained faithful, and God would work through them, and the testimony of their faithfulness was seen by the Burmese people, who then would come to faith in Christ. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to visit modern-day Myanmar and to see the church, some of the churches that the Judsons established, to see the text, the scriptures that the people of Burma still use that Judson translated. But even more than the tens of thousands of Burmese people who had come to faith as a result of their ministry, their story motivated generations of American believers and believers around the world to respond to God's call to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. All over the world today, there are missionaries because of their testimony, because of their faithfulness. For they believed what Joshua believed, and that was that God could be trusted. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul would say. When we walk in obedience, we're walking in such a way that victory belongs to God. It's His. For Joshua and the children of Israel, when they entered into Jericho, the victory was God's. They had done nothing but obey God. They obeyed God and the walls fell down. But I want to say to you this, that victory comes after the battle. Now the victory is secured, and we're told that we're fighting from victory, but the victory is realized after the battle. It's not realized in our armchairs at home. It's realized as we get out into what God has called us to, when we make ourselves available to Him, and when we serve Him in obedience. The fact that God has promised you eternal life doesn't mean that you can live any old way that you please. He has called you to live a life of obedience, to call Him Lord. And if He is your Lord, that means you're serving Him. Maybe God has already put it on your heart to serve Him in a difficult place, but you just haven't moved forward yet. Start forward today. Step by step. You say, Pastor, there's things in my way. There's obstacles. Yes, and once those obstacles are dealt with, there'll be other obstacles. But begin to move. Begin to obey today. You cannot afford to leave strongholds in your life. You know, that's part of the story. As I said, it might have been good counsel by worldly standards to say to Joshua, well, just bypass Jericho. You know, take out the rest of the land and then you can cut this city off. No, Joshua wasn't going to do that. The spiritual reason for that is you cannot afford to allow spiritual strongholds to remain standing in your life. It endangers everything that you would do for God. If you bypass it, if you don't tear it down by the power of God, by the grace of God, it will work to destroy any testimony that you have for God. There are things that God has pointed out in your life. Sin, habits, patterns that you know are not ungodly. And you've just left them alone. You said, well, I'll serve God, but you know, I'll just leave that alone. No, you cannot leave that alone. If God's pointed out to you, if He's revealed it to you, then you have to deal with it His way. Yielding to Him, repenting of sin, and seeking His grace for the destruction of that stronghold. Because down the road, he's going to point out another one. And that's why this life of faith, from faith to faith, is often from victory to victory, obstacle to obstacle. Because there are things in our lives that God reveals to us as we get closer to Him. Strongholds that must be torn down. Maybe there are other areas of your life where you're struggling in obedience, things that God has pointed out to you that you need to obey Him and you've just not been willing to do so. Maybe it's even in this area we talked about this morning of tithing. Maybe you just said, well, that just doesn't add up for me. I just can't do that. I can't obey God in this way. And victory comes as you yield yourself to God and you obey Him in all aspects of your life. All of your life is the stewardship of God's grace. God desires obedience from you. The walls fall when we walk in faith. Hebrews 11:30 again. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Brother and sister, you to walk in victory. That means to walk in obedience. Maybe the step of obedience that you need to take today is baptism. Maybe you need to follow our sister's example in baptism. You said, I trust Christ, but yeah, I just haven't taken that step. Then you're living in disobedience, and you're not going to experience victory until you obey. Maybe your area of disobedience is rebellion. Maybe it's rebellion against your parents or some other authority in your life. And you're not going to experience the victory that Christ has called you to until you obey God according to His Word. Trust Him fully to live and to battle those spiritual battles from His victory. Would you join with me in prayer? Father, we come to thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we desire to obey You. And obey You in the instructions that You've given to us. To obey those things that You have already taught us. And so Lord, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would be revealing those to our hearts right now. Maybe there are those that are here today and they would say they believe that Jesus died for them, but they have not obeyed You and publicly declared You as their Lord. Lord, I pray that today would be that day. That they would claim You as their Lord. That they would yield to You publicly. They'd surrender their life to You in salvation. Father, I pray for those that may need to obey You in baptism, or maybe they need to obey You in service. Lord, as You call us, Father, we desire to obey. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful stories that You've given to us in Your Word that instruct us in spiritual truth. Lord, today we desire to apply that truth to our lives. So we ask that You would speak to us as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we want to